Solomon the Wise said there's a time and a place for everything under the sun, and there's a new book out called A Time to Dance. And Angela Bumford is the author of that book. It's basically her life story and how God saved her as a little child in England, brought her through stage careers and different things like that, where here in America she was eventually working with Jerry Lewis and some other people as well. Angela, thank you so much for joining us, and tell us about your book in a nutshell, A Time to Dance.
Well, good morning. Yes, it's lovely to have this opportunity to speak with you. Yes, well, basically, the book is, well, it's full of adventure. It is a comedy. There is a tragedy in it. But it starts just before the outbreak of the Second World War in England. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book is that anybody who is younger than I am will not remember the war as it happened. And I realized that the Lord was calling me to write the facts as I remember them as a child when I was being bombed in England. I lived near Liverpool, which of course was an essential area. Hitler wanted to attack London, of course, got very, very badly bombed. But then Liverpool was the next most important place because, of course, that was where we were having our supplies coming in across the Atlantic Ocean from the United States.
Oh, I thought it was because that's where the Beatles were from. But go ahead. Just shows you my ignorance. Go ahead.
They hadn't quite been born yet. No, but that's, and so I did see a tremendous amount of the bombing. In fact, when I was quite a little girl, I was seven, actually, when war broke out, so, and it was 11 when it ended. That's why anybody younger than myself is not going to really remember it very well, but I do. And when the war broke out, my mother got rather tired eventually when the bombing began of running upstairs and getting my sister and I out of bed to take us downstairs to, we didn't have an air raid shelter actually, we hid in a cupboard under the stairs and we fondly imagined that that would be great, but at least it would stop us from being cut up when the windows blew in, which they did actually. And so she used to run upstairs and get us out of bed, and so my big sister, who was 7 years my senior, had a great idea. She said, well, listen, Mum, instead of doing that, why don't you just get Angela, put her mattress in the cupboard under the stairs, and she can go to bed there every night. So the cupboard under the stairs was my bedroom for a year.
Wow. Wow, all this Operation Sea Lion or whatever, the Hitler's bombing in England was going on. And how long did that last, by the way? Most people don't realize that, but it lasted several months, right?
Oh, no, it went into years because,
right?
Of course, a war broke out at the end of 1939 in England. Then there was a six-month period of what they called, the historians have called it the phony war, because we expected the bombs to start dropping the day after war was declared. Of course, nothing of the sort happened. And in fact, a lot of the children from London had been evacuated. And then nothing happened for the first 5 to 6 months. And a lot of those children were taken back to London. And it was mostly the Londoners who let their children be evacuated. And then the bombing began in earnest in the summer of 1940. And that was, I'm very sad to say that at the end of the war, they realized that 10% of the casualties of war in London had been children who were killed.
Wow.
But yes, it was really terrible. I have the facts and figures in my book, but in 5 months between July and December of 1940, 23,000 civilians were killed in England. 32,000 were injured. It's interesting to note that King George called the country to prayer numerous times during the war. And a true miracle did happen, of course, because Hitler postponed his invasion of England three times. If he had attacked when he'd originally planned to, England would definitely have fallen to Nazism because we were totally unprepared. As those who know the history realize, Winston Churchill had been calling for us to arm for many, many months before war broke out. And England had just been through, the United States too, the First World War, and had only finished 20 years before. So nobody had any the stomach for any more war. So they called Churchill a warmonger and wouldn't listen to him. And so that was really could have been the end of England. It definitely would have fallen to Nazism, the historians say, if he had attacked when he had originally said he would. So there we had a real miracle from the Lord right there.
Sure. Okay, and where does Jesus come into your life? At what point? And I know that there was kind of a recommitment later as well.
Right. Well, what happened was I was eventually evacuated, but I was one of the lucky ones. I had my parents with me. My dad was too young to serve in the Second World War. He'd done his stint in the trenches in the First World War. So I was very fortunate. I had both parents with me. And we were evacuated to North Wales. And there was a lady who lived next door to me, a very old lady. And probably she was younger than I am now, but she seemed a very old lady to me, because I was only 8 years old. And she started giving me a little book. She gave me a little prayer book, which I have to this day, with lovely pictures in it, of a little girl praying beside her bed and lovely prayers in it. And then she gave me another little book about devotions for children and families. My parents wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, as I got older and I started going to church myself, this is all in my book, yes. When I was 14 years old, I was invited to go to church with a girlfriend of mine, and she came up the garden path and knocked on the door, asked me to go to church with her, and that really changed my life, because then I started listening. So what really started was with the lady planting the seeds of faith, that lady who lived next door to me. You see, when you take an action like that, you have no idea how you are influencing a little child for their future.
Yeah.
But the seeds were planted then, and then they were watered and grown by those who pastored me in later years.
Yeah. All right, now, just to give people an overview of your book, again, this quote from Ecclesiastes 3 about a time to do this and a time to do that.
Yes.
Is really the overall theme of the book. The title, of course, is A Time to Dance, A Time for War, A Time to Uproot, A Time to Plant, A Time for Change, A Time to Weep, A Time to Mourn, A Time to Love, A Time to Laugh, etc. That provides the overall framework for the book, which, by the way, I think that was a brilliant strategy. How about a short version of what the Lord did in your life after the war, and then you can bring us up to when you went to Latin America?
Oh, well, the book, as well as being, there's a lot of travel in it, and there is, as I say, comedy in it, and the story of how the Lord led me safely through the landmines of show business in England. After the war, when I had been in show business quite a number of years, and I never really wanted to get married. I thought it would be a very boring experience, but I started to get a little bit lonely around the age of 26, 27, and I started praying that the Lord would lead me to somebody if he had anybody for me. And there was a real miracle in my life there, because what happened was I was asked if I would take part in a show, which was for a charity, in my hometown, and I knew I was going to be home at that time. And so I said, yes, I would, because it was to raise money for blind children. So yes, definitely I would take part in it. Well, then when I actually got the script, I thought it was the most dreadful script I ever read in my life. I didn't want to be in it. And so I made up a good excuse. I picked up the telephone and started to dial the number of the director to make my excuses as to why I couldn't possibly be in it. And as I started to dial, the Lord spoke to me in my heart and said, Angela, you're a Christian. You gave your word. Mm. You don't go back on your word if you're a Christian. And I hang up the phone. If I had completed that telephone call and not taken part in that show, my life would have been nowhere near how wonderful it has been, because, you see, I was singing in that show when my future husband was sitting in the audience, and it's a lovely love story in there as well. We really had a whirlwind courtship.
So Douglas Bumford was there, and you got married in 1962 on St. Patrick's Day, no less.
Yes, that's right.
Very nice. And then how did you come over to this hemisphere?
Well, what happened was he was actually working in Peru and was home on vacation visiting his parents in my hometown. My parents and his parents had actually known each other many years before.
Oh, wow.
But and when I had been 14 years old, he had actually directed me in a show, but he was 23. And you know how little girls of 14 are. I had a big crush on this handsome director, but he was Mr. Bomford to me.
Wow.
And so we, on the last night of the show that he had directed me in, I went with my autograph album, the way little 14-year-old girls do, and said, Mr. Bomford, may I have your autograph, please? And he wrote in it, to Angela, my charming leading lady, with love from Doug Bomford. And it was 14 years later when I sang in that show that I almost got out of.
Yeah.
That he was in the audience, and when I got a message backstage from his sister to say that she was in the front, so I went down to the, after the show it was over, and I'd got changed, I went to the front, and there, standing in exactly the same place, in that same theater, where I had asked Douglas for his autograph, was wow. Douglas Bomford, and I thought it was her... I thought it was her husband. I thought, oh, she snagged herself a handsome husband. And she said, you remember my brother Douglas, don't you? And we shook hands, and we literally dated for 1 week, and we decided to get married.
Wow.
Well, that, he was working in Peru. He was going back amazing. To Peru, so it was a question of it's now or never. You know?
What was he doing in Peru?
Well, he was in the shipping business.
Oh, okay.
For a British shipping company.
Okay, and now we only have about 3 minutes left, so bring us to the United States. So you go over to Latin America. I know you were in Panama for a while.
And, of course, we actually lived 10 years in Panama and a year in Peru. And then he was offered a job here in the United States. And it took us 1 year to be able to get into the States because they wanted to be certain that, you know, of our background, and he had to prove he wasn't taking a job off an American citizen. And I believe that's the right way to do it. And we finally came to the United States, and it has just been such a miracle of the Lord right through my whole life. I give praise and glory to the Lord, and I just can't tell you what a wonderful, wonderful life the Lord gave me. Mm. There were the ups and downs, and that's in the book as well, and there was a tragedy or two, but it has been so wonderful that I can look back on so much that has been so great, and I just fear and tremble at the thought of what might have happened to me if I had not met the Lord and known him.
Hmm. All right, well, let me ask you a question. Praise God for this, by the way. Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I can't help but feel this is a leading question, but as you look at that second verse I just said, Proverbs 3:6, would you say that in all your ways you acknowledge the Lord and he definitely directed your path, looking back?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And incidentally, every time I autograph my book, I put that Bible reference in that front page under my autograph. In every book that I sell.
Oh, yeah, there it is. I see that in this very copy. And how can people get the book?
Okay, well, they can get it online, or they can order it from their favorite bookstore. That's no problem. Now, there is another book with a similar title, so you have to be very careful, that it's the book A Time to Dance, written by me, Angela Bomford. And if they needed to, they can get in touch with me. I have a website. It's angelabomford.com, which is pretty easy to remember.
And Bomford is spelled B-O-M-F-O-R-D. You know, I couldn't help but think of when you were talking about being in the cupboard for practically a year while the Nazis were bombing. I couldn't help but think of that old title from C.S. Lewis with a little variation, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Cupboard, you know, as opposed to the wardrobe. But actually, those the Chronicles of Narnia series do kind of provide at least an insight, a window into what it was like for children like you growing up in England during wartime when the Nazis were bombing. And in fact, their whole adventure really begins in that particular context. The reason they even go on that train ride to go out into the countryside is to get away from all of Hitler's bombing. So thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. AngelaBomford.com for more information, B-O-M-F-O-R-D. And the book, again, is called A Time to Dance. Angela, thanks so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.